When I got born again, anything I do, I want to know how and I want to know why. Because I don't want to just do something for doing's sake. There must be purpose. I've always been a purpose-driven individual. Why do you do what you do? When I came to the knowledge of Jesus, being Christian, confirmed a Catholic boy, and then my mother and father got saved later on, but by that time I didn't want to have anything to do with God, because every Christian I saw, I certainly didn't want to be like. I never understood God, because all I heard was that you could never talk to God. I wrote a book called Warning a God You Can Talk To. Because every time I tried to talk to God, religious people say, you can't talk to God. If you were Catholic, you talk to the priest. And then if you were Baptist, well, you never know what he's going to say. Just give it your best shot. And then the Pentecostal said, he'll kill you. So I said, nah, well, I don't want to talk to him for sure. You know, so I didn't know. I just wanted to, if God is real, I wanted to know what God does. Now, I know he creates, and I know he's a creator. I know he's God. But what's his job? So I want to start off with this today. What God does, or his job, is to call things which be not as though they were. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was out form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord God moved upon the waters. And God said. When God said, God saw. He began to call things that be not as though they were. If you go to the last chapter in the book of Revelation, it's not the last verse, but it's close to the second or third, the last verse, he says, surely I come quickly. God's job is to call those things which be not as though they were. That's Romans 4:17. Many of you know that. Well, when I found out what God does, then I said, okay, now I know how to react to God. And I know when God is doing something, because I know his job title. I know what he does. Then something else, as I began to develop in the Word of God, I wanted to know who God was. You see, when you meet somebody, you really want to know who they are. What's your name? What does your name mean? What do you do? You know, and that's how marriage is formed. You may have an interest in a young lady and a young man or whatever, and you want to know first their name, and then what do you do? And then as those things begin to, you know, kind of get in the pot and begin to stir up, then, you know, other things begin to happen. You begin to know somebody. So I said, God, I know what you do, but I want to know who you are. So what God does is call those things that be not as though they were. What God is the fruits of the Spirit. See, what God does is call those things that be not. What God is the fruits of the Spirit. God is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, temperance, gentleness, goodness. And the Bible says, against such there is no law. So you notice there is no law against God, because God is. Not God might be. God is. Now, I made up my mind to believe that when my intellect told me that was not true. But I realized that my intellect could not embrace the Spirit of God, but the Spirit of God could embrace my intellect. So I want to deal with tonight, and it's in Galatians chapter 5, if you'll go with me to Galatians chapter 5, at verse, I believe it's 22. That's Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, I'll help you, for you people that don't know much about the Bible. In fact, as you turn into Galatians chapter 5, if this is the first time you've ever seen me in person, stand to your feet. Look at this. My God, where have y'all been? You may be seated. That's a great crowd. I came here when I had a little brown hair. So what God does is call those things to be not as though they were. What God is the fruits of the Spirit. Now look what it says here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. In other words, if you understand God, there's no law against him. If you're an imitator of God as a dear child, Ephesians 5:1, then there's no law against you. Because if God is the fruits of the Spirit, then when you become born again, you must be the fruits of the Spirit. So the title of my message tonight is Staying Close to the Fruit Tree. Just simply staying close to the fruit tree. I want to deal with that tonight. Now, I'm a man, I love to study the Word of God. The Word of God to me, or the gospel, is like a stained glass cathedral window. You must go inside to see its detail. I love artwork. I got to stay out of there. Martin Gallagher, Kathy said, man, we got to stay out of there. Jesse, we got enough. Where are we going to put all this stuff? I said, we'll get a bigger house. I like artwork. I love stained glass. I love the watch. When I first went to Bishop Keith Butler's church in Detroit, he took me over to the old church, not the new one, and I immediately looked up. This is where the monks were. I mean, you know, they had that. And I looked up. I said, you want to sell that stained glass? Well, no, just, no, no. I said, if you ever want to sell that, let me know. Because that is artwork. That's European in its style, its flavor. So the gospel is like a stained glass cathedral window. You can enjoy it from the outside, but you cannot understand its detail until you get on the inside. You see, and that's the same thing with God. To understand God, you got to get on the inside. He's got to get on the inside of you. We call it in Christ. You got to understand something about those people at Antioch. They were always nicknaming people. You see, before Jesus' followers were called disciples, followers of the way. But at Antioch, they nicknamed them Christians. In Christ. That flows all through the Pauline revelation. So I want to talk tonight about staying close to the fruit tree. So I take the scripture as a cathedral stained glass. Even though you can read it on the outside, you cannot understand its detail till you get on the inside. It's called meditate and translate. In other words, get in there and begin to dig that out. It's great to hear Brother Copeland preach, but you ought to hear him preach it the second time, the third time, the fourth time. You mean at another meeting? No, at your house. You first got it at a church. You bought a video or you bought a tape. And all of a sudden you said, how come I didn't hear that the first time? Because what's happening is you're receiving, you can only receive so much at each time that it's given. In other words, as you begin to study the Word of God, then the detail of the Word of God begins to come, you become aware of what is actually happening. I'm a man, women are into accessories. I'm like, they like an outfit, but that ain't all. You gotta get the accessories. And the accessories cost more than the outfit. Gotta have the shoes. Kathy bought a pair of shoes today and wanted me to just touch them. She said, touch them shoes. I said, all I got to do is touch my wallet. I don't know about them shoes. She likes accessorize, those kind of things. Like she likes jewelry, so I buy Kathy a lot of jewelry. She has a lot of jewelry. So she'll come, she says, I feel like wearing yellow today. So she has yellow gold. I feel like wearing white today. So she'll have platinum or white gold. She got all kinds of stuff. So I have to run up to the safe and get it. And she don't know how to open up the safe. She almost backslid the other day. She tried to open up that safe 18 times, but I asked the Lord to protect me when I wasn't home. Because there's other things in that safe. You know, she's going, ah, 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 ah. I said, thank you, Jesus. He said, don't quit hiding stuff in there. I'm going to give her the combination. I said, okay, Lord. So the gospel is like a stained glass cathedral window. You must go inside to see its detail. She said, zip it, praise God. So a lot of times, I mean, that's one of the most common things. I mean, I'm about ready to go to work. She says, I feel like wearing my white pearls today. Would you go upstairs and get them? Sure, that's what I live for. Okay. Praise God. Then how about my black pearls? I think I'll have my blue ring. I want my green ring. I want the yellow ring. I don't know all kinds of stuff she's got. I think, should I wear this? Should I wear that? Should I wear Urim today? I don't know, Lord. Urim is downstairs. That's the trash. Upstairs is in the safe is the heavy stuff. Glory to God. So I got to go up there. I've run up and down that stairs, but that's okay because I've kept it in a safe place. You got to keep things in a safe place. You understand what I'm saying? I keep the Word of God in a safe place. It's in the very intents of my heart. But I realize this, to understand the gospel, you got to get inside of it, not just look at it from outside and say, look how pretty it is. So Jesus is the fruits of the Spirit. Now, what does fruit mean? Fruit is only found where there is life. Write that down. In other words, you will never find fruit where there is no life. So in other words, something is producing life. That's why Jesus couldn't go to funerals. He messed them up. You could not bury nobody around Jesus because he was a fruit tree. He gave life and that more abundantly. Even though you was glad the person died, he just raised them from the dead just to aggravate you. God's done that to me many times. He made me believe God for my own mother-in-law. And I said, you don't understand that. You want another revolution in heaven? You send Irene up there, I'm telling you, well, you're going to have a revolution in 2 weeks. You send Irene to hell, Satan will commit suicide in 2 weeks. What do you want to do? I was wrong. I had to repent over that. Now, you know, she is such a blessing. I'm going to her house for Christmas. I mean, we're great friends because I was wrong and she was right. You see, my fruit was kind of withered when it came to my mother-in-law. So fruit is only found where there is life. My Lord gave me this afternoon, so I want to give it to you as he gave it to me. So I began to realize, why do people love me? I have life. I'm not sad. I'm not saved enough to be miserable. There's something they're picking off of my life. I get this compliment more than anything else. You know what? My husband hates preachers. My uncle hates preachers. My father can't stand preachers. But boy, they like you. I was introduced the other day in Seattle. It's pastor introduced me like this. They got people here tonight that hate God but love Jesse. I thought, well, thanks a lot, but I appreciate that. But I get that constantly. My husband won't watch that, but he will watch you. And one lady, one pastor's wife told me, she said, my father hates God, hates anything to do with Christianity, but he will rush home to watch your program. She said, we've been over there eating dinner. He said, y'all shut up. Jesse's on. And I went and preached, and it was in the United States, and to protect his name. And I went, and he came to the church. The pastor's wife, like that fella, she said, my daddy's here. I said, well, that's wonderful. She said, no, you don't understand. He ain't been in the church in 35 years, but he said, if Jesse ever come to this city, I'm coming to see him. And guess what? When I walked out, I sat right next to him. He said, I love your program. I said, you do. I said, who are you? He told me, he said, I'm the pastor's wife. Pastor's wife is my daughter. He said, I don't like my son-in-law neither. I just thought I'd tell you that. I said, okay. I said, do you like your daughter? He said, not very much, but you know, this guy was rough. He said, but I like you. I said, you need Jesus. He said, I need something. He said, mister, I'm going to tell you something. You're the only preacher I trust. I said, you've never met me. He said, I know what trust is. I know when somebody's honest. Shake my hand. I shook his hand. Boy, he had a real strong hand. I said, God bless you. I said, I'm going to be giving an altar call at the end of this thing. I said, I'm going to pray for God, you to walk out and come forward. He said, don't bet on it. I said, I'm not a gambler. I said, gamble. When you're gambling, it's a chance. I said, brother, when I finish preaching, it's a sure shot. You're going to get saved whether you like it or not. And I saw him begin to tremble a little bit. Then I grabbed his hand and shook it. I'm telling you, you're going to get saved. He can get rough with me. I can get rough with him. I just let him bite on a little bit of this fruit in my life. The fruit is only found where there is life. Now let's deal with these 9 attributes. What is love? Love is the primal demand. Write this down if you're taking notes. Love is the primal demand of Christian faith. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, Jesus gave us a new commandment to love one another. You know my disciples by the love they have one another. On the night that he was betrayed, Judas was betraying him, Jesus was giving a new commandment. Why? Love is a primal demand of Christian faith. On the night of his betrayal, Jesus gave us a new commandment. St. Paul said, without love, faith to remove mountains profit nothing. In other words, if you don't have love, it's the number one thing in the line of the fruits of the Spirit. God is love. So he said the fruits of the Spirit is love. It's the primal thing of Christianity. Now you can have a lot of faith. So Jesus said, even on his betrayal night, I give you a new commandment that you love one another. St. Paul said, without love, faith to remove mountains profits little. St. John said that he that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. See, so love is vitally important. Now, I'm not talking about stupidness. I'm talking about agape, the love of God. I never in my life ever thought that I could love like that. I had a struggle in my life with love. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I still do. I struggled with that because I was raised not to show any emotion. We could not cry. My daddy didn't believe in crying. My grandpa didn't believe in crying. You're a man. But no, I'm 5 years old and a truck just ran over my leg. Put the bones back in your leg, boy. I ain't paying for them bones. Suck it up. Stand up. You know, you don't cry. You're a man. I'm 5 years old. I don't care what hole you are. In other words, they were worried about me becoming a wimp. And I did not cry. And I never told Kathy I loved her till 5 years after I married her. I wanted to, but I couldn't. Because I had suppressed that for years and years and years and years. Because I thought the way you're supposed to be a man. That's stupidness and foolishness. And the first thing God had me do, I got saved. I wasn't saved 30 seconds. He told me to tell Kathy that I loved her. It was like Fonzie. I love. I didn't know how to say that. I wanted to. I really did, but I could not get that out because I considered that weakness, which was stupid. But when God came into life, that primal thing, what happened? He broke that callousness. So I said, Kathy, I want to let you know, I love, you know. And Jody looking at me at what, 3 years old, 2.5, 3 years old, said, Daddy ain't going to hell no more. What happened? 3 years old. I said, Jody, who told you I was going to hell? She said, Mama. You could see I was going to hell. That wasn't the issue. The child could see that. But when the fruit of the Spirit, when a God nature came into me, people began to notice the difference. So notice that immediately, he said the fruit of the Spirit, or what God does is the fruit of the Spirit, is love. So you have to walk in love. Number two, where there's love, there must be joy. Why? Rejoice always, and again I say rejoice, is a standing order of the gospel. It don't say be happy when you feel like it. He said rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. That's joy. See, that's an anointing that's on my life. I like that. Because where there's love, there is joy. See, let me say it again. Rejoice always, and again I say rejoice, is a standing order of the gospel. Without this mark of joy, you don't have the Spirit in its fullness. There are a lot of people that don't have joy. They may be saved, but they don't have the Spirit in its fullness until they have the fullness of joy coming out of their lives. I mean, I never forget when people wanted to get me saved. I remember used to hang around, would you like to get saved? And I didn't know what saved meant. I'd say, from what? Would you like to meet Jesus Christ, the Lord of your life? I'd say, no. So you can be like me? Double no. Because there was no joy there. All I saw was Taliban Christianity. Get that makeup off your face. No, leave it on. You see what I'm trying to say? Always trying to clean the fish before they catch it. Very hard to clean a fish before you catch it. You see, God is the fruit of the Spirit, staying close to the fruit tree. People ask me all the time, why are you so full of joy, Brother Jesse? You don't have any problems? Got a lot of problems. I just stay underneath the tree. I stay close to the tree. Because the tree is where my sustenance and my substance come from. Because out of that tree is coming love and it's coming joy. So I want it in the fullness. I never forget not long ago I was preaching. And I tell you what, there was a black woman, and she's kind of elderly black woman. And she, you know, she's a little fat, not too bad. And she go, whoa, Lord! Woo, Lord, that little white man can do it. Woo, Lord. Jesus. She had one of them jerking. Oh, Lord, Jesus. Woo. So the deacons come over there and say, you're going to have to calm down. I love what she said. You don't understand. Eyes overcharged. I lost it, man. I went, let her go, man. Let her go. She's overcharged. She was from the old school. Buddy, when she said that, it got the church overcharged. I was overcharged. I can't stand still. I got the jaw of the Lord. She said like this, I got the jaw of the Lord. I said, ooh, I got the jaw. I was overcharged, Brother Jesse. I love that. It immediately sprang all over the church. That's what joy does. Now, you've been in some church and you were having fun till you walked through the door. And said, I should have stayed home, boy. This is a sad, sick, and disgusted Sunday today. No. Stay close to the fruit tree. Fruit is only found where there's life. So God said, love is the prime of the man of Christianity. Joy. Rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. So if you don't have this mark of joy, you don't have the Spirit in its fullness. So from love, joy, he says peace. Peace is more than peacefulness. Write this down. If I'm going too fast, I can slow it down. You can get the tape. Peace is more than peacefulness. I've seen some people that had peacefulness with no peace. Just sitting there going, oh, you look like they're peaceful, but inside they're in torment. Now, peace, I really began to look at the definition of peace. And I studied it in Greek and in Hebrew. Then I went to different languages. What does the German say about peace? What does the African say about what? And I came up with this. Peace is possession of adequate resource. Nothing broken, nothing missing. I understand that. But peace is possession of adequate resource. Which simply means, if you go to buy a new car and you got cash, you got peace. It don't make no difference what they're going to say. You got enough to take care of that. But God says, Jesse, I am God, but I'm love. I'm joy, but I'm also peace. And he said, I give you my peace. I leave with you. Not as the world gives. So there's three types of peace in a person's life. The peace of God, the peace from God, and the peace with God. So when God is standing in your room, you're not afraid. You're going, speak, Jehovah. When you hadn't felt God in a long time, it don't make no difference because you have peace from him. And then you have peace with him. when you're working together, when I'm moving in the gifts of the Spirit, I've had people say, you are so specific on these things. But Justin, do you ever get nervous somebody won't come? No, no. No. Why? I have peace. I have peace with God. See, it's not me just saying, there's somebody here. No. That's God is saying that. I'm just walking with him. So that's peace with him. And I've had some, one time I gave a word and this lady said, that's not true. I said, liar! You lying! She said, I'm sorry, I am a liar. Yeah, it is true. I said, you can embarrass me all day. They don't have anything to do with me, girl. You're dealing with God here. I said, sometimes some people lied to God and they fell dead. I said, would you like me to read you that chapter? No. See, peace with God. So I'm not afraid to move in the gifts of the Spirit. I see when Brother Copeland begins to minister under the prophetic norm, I don't see him going, no. May God give the man some. Thus saith the Lord would say. And I find he's very comfortable in that. He gave me a prophecy one time that blew my intellect completely out the back door. This was in this building. He looked at me and said, I'll tell you something, Jesse the Planet. First, he kind of did this to me. I thought, what's he looking at? My Lord, what? I got the wrong suit on. He said, Jesse, come here. I said, yes, sir. He said, the Lord told me to tell you all your dreams will be fulfilled by the end of this year. I thought, oh, Jesus, he ain't been in my dreams. I'm like a kid. I dream, son. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll never forget it as long as I have. No, that wasn't here. That was at one of the believers' conventions. Am I correct? One of the believers' conventions. I thought, God, help me. Does he know what I'm believing for? The Lord said, no, but I do. And ladies and gentlemen, that year, come the 31st, God is my witness. Every January 1, it's a holy day in me and Kathy's life. We start off the new year in our dining room, about the only time we ever go in there. With that beautiful china and all that stuff in there. And we take the two immutable things, we take the Lord's table. And we call those things that be not as though they were for the year to come. And we thank God for what we did in the past. And come January 1, normally I open up and say, Lord, I thank you. And we thank you, Lord, we're believing God. That year I went, we ain't got nothing to say. Every dream, everything I had believed for had come to pass. And the Lord said, you forgot to dream new dreams, didn't you, Jesse? Now, I didn't disbelieve Brother Copeland, but I thought, that is a powerful thing. But he said it with such peace, which brought peacefulness. And, you know, I didn't say, boy, I hope Brother Copeland don't miss it. I went back and said, thus saith the Lord, the prophet said. Now, you know, when I told some people, they said, you actually going to believe that? I said, yeah. Well, I think that's dumb. I said, he ain't talking to you, dummy. He talking to me. Well, I'll just wait and see it. And I said, well, why don't you just do that? And I never thought like this, oh, God, my neck's on the line. No, I had a peace about it. It was the peace of God, the peace from God, and the peace with God. And when we started out that January, glory to God, I'll never forget. It was January 1995. I'll take come January. I was believing for a jet. I didn't have enough money to buy a jet. I had enough money not to buy one prop. I mean, and carry three people. I didn't know nothing. I was believing God to go on worldwide television, do some things that was going to take a bunch of money. I was believing God to build a sanctuary, build all kinds of different things. I mean, I was dreaming strong like a kid, man, you know, just with his great imagination. And then Brother Copeland said, I went home. I said, you hear what Brother Copeland said? She said, I did. I said, we're going to act on that, glory to God. Because they told us, you can do anything. You can do both. You don't have to wait on one. You can do both. You can do it all at the same time if you like to. And we didn't think of it like this. Yeah, sure. We thought, praise God. Somebody believes in us beside God. And come January 1, 1995, me and Kathy stood in there. And the Lord said, what y'all going to say to me? I said, nothing. We got to go to bed and dream. Man, I said, we're going to start dreaming. I had come to a point, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you know any other person. I came to a point where God answered every prayer I ever prayed. Everything I ever believed for had come to pass. I won't tell you something. I was just standing there like I didn't know what to do. And the Lord said, well, do what I do. I said, what's that? Call those things that be not as though they were. Come on, Jesse. Let's start creating destiny. And let's get to destination. So that January, me and Kathy began to call those things that be not as though they were. And brother, did we fly out with some big stuff. And the Lord never once got shook over it. You know why? I had his peace and he had his peace with him. See, that's the gospel. See, it's like that stained glass cathedral window. You got to get inside to see the detail of it. Well, from love, joy, peace came long suffering. Now, that's one that not too many people like. But it's part of God. Long-suffering is the capacity to present the same calm surface to men today and tomorrow in spite of anything and everything. It is the power to bear irritating people without being irritated. That's long-suffering. You know some irritating people, I mean, that will drive you slap crazy, but you've got long-suffering. It does not irritate you. It is the ability to tolerate the intolerable. That's what long-suffering is. That's a part of God. You see, that's what I didn't understand about my mother-in-law. She was irritating to me, but not to God. He saw her as a vessel that needed to be touched by Jesus. I saw her as a vessel that I want to make an offer. She can't refuse. You see, that kind of stuff. But God said, no, you're not. If you want to be like me, you got to get around irritating people without getting irritated. You got to have the capacity to present the same calm surface to men today, tomorrow, in spite of anything and everything. Now that's long-suffering. Becoming tolerant of the intolerable. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. You don't think that's strong? Jesus could save Hitler if he'd have said, forgive me. Those snipers that were killing those people, all they had to do was say, God, forgive me, and the Lord wash it away. Now, to me, that's intolerable. How can God? Because he knew how to tolerate the intolerable. He has the capacity to stay calm in every situation. Did you ever go up to God and say, God, I need $1,000? You go, I don't have it. Whoa, what are we going to do? Let's sell an angel. No. You never heard God do that. He's always got that calmness about him. Okay. And this is what he says, command ye me concerning my word. Or give me a job to do. What do you want me to do? He's got that calmness about it. Lord, they just told me I had cancer. Whose report shall you believe? Huh? Am I stronger than cancer? Did I say cancer has a name? Yes, Lord. Did I say everything gets name has to bow at the name of Jesus? Yes, Lord. Do we have a problem? No, Lord. Thank you. See, that's that love, that crowning love, that joy, that peace, and that long-suffering. Lord, gee, he's calm about that. When the Lord told me to go on television, I got nervous about it. I said, Lord, they can't see you. They can only see me. They're not going to ask you for the money. They're going to ask me. He said, well, the only money you got is what I give you. I said, well, that's true. He said, then we don't have a problem, do you? I said, well, no, we don't. He said, then what are we talking about here, Jesse? He said, didn't you say you want to be like me? I said, yes, Lord. He said, stay calm. And you know, I've learned to do that as a CEO of my ministry. Because if, boy, if I begin to shake, I cause confusion out there real quick with my employees. If I go, oh, Lord. I made a joke to Suzanne the other day. Suzanne's evangelism. She's supervisor of evangelism. Every once in a while, it happens to me. It usually happens to me when the first cold snap comes. I want to be Jeremiah Johnson. You know the movie Jeremiah Johnson? I want to go up in the mountains. Forget it all. Find me a squaw. Kathy's my squaw. Come on, mama. I want to shut it down. Me and Kathy are taken care of. We can shut it down, ladies and gentlemen. Give God the glory for that. So I kind of get like Jeremiah. I can hear the mountains call me Jeremiah. Jeremiah. So I walked into my evangelism department, and I got, I don't mean this arrogantly, thousands of requests. I said, I tell you what I'm thinking of shutting this baby down. Get me a horse. Bring my squaw with me. Hallelujah. And we just head out into the mountains. They said, you're going to quit? You can't quit. What about us? Follow me up the mountain. Man, I saw him kind of get shook. Whoa, that's Suzanne right there. She go, oh, no, you can't quit. And I said, no, I couldn't quit. But every time I watched that movie, man, I live in a subdivision. I'm trying to find a horse that'll fit in my backyard. I want a horse, man, just a horse. A horse, however y'all call it. I don't know. Glory to God. I've been on a hunting trip with John and him. I like the way they ride horses. I've seen John coming down right when we were doing that movie with Brother Copeland. Man, I mean, they're out there running them horses. They said, Jesse, you want to do that? No, I don't want to die. You know, because I hadn't been around horses. You know what I'm saying? You know, I like them, but I hadn't been around them. I ride them as much as I possibly can. But I would just love to do that. But I would need somebody to train me because nature would destroy me. I'd have to bring Suzanne so she could kill the rabbits and feed me, praise God. I mean, every time I go on a hunt trip, I make sure I go with somebody to know what they're doing. When I was on a hunt trip, I followed John and them. They're not going to get lost because then people can see in the dark. They're like horses, man. I mean, this dog can't see nothing. Yeah. Hey, John. Yeah, I'm over here. I'm over here, buddy. I just follow that sound, okay? Glory to God, man. I get lost out there. I cry. Man, they said, well, just go down this way and follow the mountain. I've done that and wound up on another mountain. I don't know how I did that. I need people to help me out there. But you know, you always want to be something you're not. John helped me try to kill a deer. We didn't kill him, but I tell you what, we shocked him bad. There was bullets flying everywhere. He knew he was safe. All he had to do was not move. Remember that, John? But John said, you're a little bit to the left. You're a little bit to the right. Whoo, you're way over him. Okay, you're under him. And as the deer said, if I stand here, that Cajun couldn't hit nothing. If I just stay here, I'll be safe. Remember that, John? God, no. You think I'm kidding you, Lord? We walked up to that deer, and that deer rear end. Am I telling the truth, John, about from me? John was standing, he goes, he's right there. Right. That deer, God is my witness, had stuck his head in some brush, and his rear end was hanging out. That much of his body here, and I went up and I looked at him. Now, was that deer from me to that plant, John, about something like that? John says, shoot him. And I was just amazed. I was looking at his rear end. Oh, look at that deer. That stupid deer is as stupid as I am. He's got his head in the bush there. Ain't nobody see me. Look at that, John. I'm not exaggerating. Am I telling the truth? John, he's going, so stupid me. All I had to do was pick up the rifle. I probably could have goosed him. You know? All that. And stupid me, I'm going to look through the scope. Now, when a deer is from me to that plant, you look through the scope, all you see is hair. I missed. Did I miss, John? But John was nice. He said, Brother Jesse, we're going to go down there and see if we find any blood. I don't doubt that deer said there was this stupid Cajun. I got so close to him, he could have kissed me and still missed. But you know, John and them were so kind, they went down there looking. Now, I didn't go down there because that's too far down that hole. I said, man, I ain't going down there. John said, I'm walking down to make sure. I'm pretty sure after he left me, he said, I'm just doing this because Brother Jesse, my daddy friend. But Jesse, come up here by himself. He going to die. We're going to have to take care of him. I missed. There's more room off of him than there is on him. I shot all around that day. But I tell you what, I don't doubt. He said, I had one of the most frightening experiences of my life. I said that to go to this next point. John was gentle with me. I know what he was thinking. I love you, Jesse, but keep preaching. Don't never become Jeremiah Johnson. The next one is God is gentle. Gentleness is a social virtue. Now listen to this. It makes restraint give way to harmony. When you're gentle, it makes restraint give way to harmony. A soft answer turneth away wrath. I find that if Kathy's a little aggravated at me and I say, what'd you say, woman? Oh, Jesus. Or if I go, what? And I mean, maybe I just didn't hear, what? If I just, you hollering at me? No. But I would say, what did you say, Kathy? Huh? She said, I don't think I said, okay, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done it. Okay. See, it's called being gentle. See, not only do you have love, joy, peace, long suffering, that's great, but God is also gentle. Gentleness is a social virtue. It makes restraint give way to harmony. A soft answer turneth away wrath. Yeah. I'll never forget the first time Kathy made, first time, what I'm saying, the only time she made 30 years old. First, she made 30. I'll never forget. Now, I'm 3 years older than Kathy. I was 33. She's 30. Now, I look 10 years older, and that's okay. I don't make no difference. Maybe 20s, you know. So I said, well, Kathy, how's it feel to be 30? Just the same way, like 29. Why? Does that bother you? I said, no, it didn't bother me, Mama. Just wondering how you thought it was about 30. Nothing. I heard people say 30 was tough. It ain't nothing. I said, okay. So I didn't say nothing all day. I got her a birthday gift, all that kind of stuff. We went out and eat dinner. I had a nice time. Well, it's time to go to bed, you know. So, man, she got a lamp. I got a lamp. She got a clock that's not all. My clock's different from her clock because that's the way she sets it. I cut the lights out like that. I knew it was coming because I know this woman. So I just laid there. And through the darkness, a voice said, Jesse, do you mind being married to an old woman? And I said, God's grace is sufficient. That was not the right answer. That was not a soft answer. I said, Kathy, I don't care if you get old. That don't make no difference. I didn't marry your body. Let me tell you something, brother. You want a great marriage. Let me forget that body. Because if you think it's going to stay up, you take pictures. Because it's going to go down. The body goes south. You understand? It goes south. You think, you young people don't believe that, but it's the truth. But listen, we got great doctors. We can suck it up now, tie it behind. Hey, do what you got to do. You understand what I'm saying? Get it fixed if that's what you want. I don't have a problem with that whatsoever at all. But I'm going to tell you something. It's going to go south. It's going south. I took a shower today. My belly button's so deep, I leaned over and water fell out my belly. I thought, this is terrible. It's getting deeper. What are y'all laughing at? You got the same problem? I'm trying to gently tell you that. So you young people, you think that girl's good looking? Yeah, but Jesse, she a fop. You think that boy's a hunk? Yeah, take pictures. Remember when, glory to God. Hello. But it doesn't make any difference. Because, you see, if you get gentle about it. And yet Kathy goes, she tells me this all the time. She told me this the other day. She said, Jesse. I said, what, woman? She said, you know, you look better now than you did when I married you. I said, put these glasses on, Kathy. You can't see. I got the wedding album. That's a lie. That's not true. But she can't see. She goes, huh? What'd she say? But that's all right. See, you have to have gentleness. And out of gentleness comes goodness. Now, how many Christians you know have love, joy, peace, long-suffering? Think about it for a minute. Gentleness. Your list is getting pretty short right now. Goodness. What is goodness? Goodness is all the wealth accumulated in the 9 fruits of the Spirit. All of it is considered goodness. Goodness is courteous, sympathetic, considerate, and benevolent. It is all the wealth accumulated in the 9 fruits of the Spirit. And God is good. And God said, Moses, I will pass by and show you my goodness. I've had people say, Jesse DePlanis, you're a good man. I say, thank you. I appreciate that. But you see, that's a quality of God. You're telling me I'm like God when you say I'm good. See what I'm saying? When you say that person's bad, you're telling me they're like Satan. You understand what I'm saying? So goodness. But, you know, first you got to have gentleness and then goodness. Notice there's a list here. You have to follow that because what God does is call those things to be not as though they were. What God is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. He's the fruits of the Spirit. So I stay close to the fruit tree, which means this, love your enemies. I don't understand why I have enemies in the gospel. In my opinion, I hadn't hurt nobody. I can say this, ladies and gentlemen. I'll say this standing right in front of God and the world. I've wronged no man. If I've done something wrong, I didn't know I was doing it wrong. I've never been in competition with people. I'm in cooperation with people. I don't care if God gives, if God give Brother Copeland a whole airline before I get my citation in, I wouldn't get mad about it at all. And I'm just glad. I had a man ask me the other day. He said, you got a Rolls Royce? I said, no, but I got 2 friends of mine that do. Now, could I go buy a Rolls Royce? Yes, I can. I can go buy one. That's not this. I don't mean that arrogantly, but I just hadn't. But I tell you what, when Brother Dollar comes or Brother Thompson comes, he lives close to me. And every time he comes down with that Rolls, he say, you won't drive? I said, sure, get in the back, Leroy. Am I telling the truth? I drive Leroy all over New Orleans. And I see white people go, look at that white man driving that black guy. I don't care, because I don't think of Leroy Thompson as black. We've become very close friends because, you know, he'll call me up and say, I'm hungry. I'm coming over. So I'll go over. And the other day, I said, I'm coming to Baton Rouge. He said, we're going to eat. We had a great time. I mean, we enjoyed. You know, all of us had this sweet fit. I'm not a big sweet eater, but when you stay on low carbohydrate, after a while, your body says, sugar, huh? And we found a store where there was chocolate with no sugar and no carbohydrate. You should have seen me and Leroy, Carolyn, and Kathy. They said, how much y'all want? Give us the case. The whole gang, give it all to us, Lord. Gee, we piled that stuff up like that. And we went to the show. They said, y'all want some candy? No, we got our own. Leroy fell asleep. But I tell you what, I don't mind driving. I like driving that road, Lord. I thought, bless God, this is nice. I never think of, wait a minute, man. Ain't let nobody see that. No. Leroy Thompson's a good man. I'm a good man. We prefer one another. You see what I'm saying? That's such a way. Today, Brother Copeland said, if I wouldn't have wrote this sermon, God wouldn't have been dealing with me. He said, you know, I got my motorcycle full of gas. I thought about it. I said, you know, Kathy could preach tonight. I can go all over Fort Worth because this is the strangest place to get around. Because your signs, your streets say go west, north. I go, now that don't make a lick of sense to a kid. What? Yeah, just take 820 west going north and turn east. This is a hard place to get around. I go, wait a minute, that ain't right. Oh, yeah, yeah. Listen, if you want to go south, go east. Go east and turn west. But you're actually going south. How do you know? How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? It is tough here. From gentleness and goodness comes faith. What is faith? Faith is God's way of saying, have a nice day. Because faith creates anything you need, desire, or want. Faith is God's way of saying, have a nice day. It is also a shield and a protector. Faith is your security service at work for you daily. That's why I love the household of faith. The Bible says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good, especially to those of the household of faith. I'm special, the household of faith. I told some people, well, I don't believe it. You and that Copeland and that Hagen and that Savelle and that Dollar guy and that Thompson guy. I don't believe it. Y'all. I said, you know what? I said, you notice? I said, we ain't hurting like you hurting. You notice that you ain't struggling like you struggling. He didn't like that. I said, you know why? Because we special. I said, did God ever name you in the scripture? You don't have the house. You don't see the household of might. He said, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to the household of faith. Why? Faith is saying, have a nice day. It is also a shield and a protector. It's your security service for you at work. See, that's staying close to the fruit tree, see? When you stay close to the fruit tree, God begins to work with that. Then from gentleness, goodness, faith comes meekness. Now, the Bible said Moses was the meekest man in all the world. Meekness is not cowardness. A lot of people think that is. When they see a very meek person, oh, he's a wimp or she's a wimp. No, meekness is not cowardness, for it demands high courage. Meekness, it is the spirit of him who, when reviled, reviles not. When you suffer, threatens not. Meekness, it makes one take a lower place than he deserves. You understand what I'm saying? That's meekness. Meekness is not cowardice. It takes high courage to be. It makes a person take a lower position even though they don't deserve it. It's not my will, but thine be done. Now this is how God is. Think about that. God will minister life to you before he ministers life to himself. If you're a true mother and a true father, you'll minister life to your children before you'll minister to yourself. Let me say it again. Meekness is not cowardice, for it demands high courage. It is the spirit of him who, when reviled, reviles not, suffers, threatens not. It makes one take a lower place than he deserves. I was on an airplane one time. This is before we had our plane, and I sat down. And as I sat, I always tried to get an aisle seat bulkhead so I could have a little room for my legs or whatever. And a man walked in, It was a black man. This was years and years ago. If I could tell you where it was. It was at Love Field. It was on a Southwest airline flight. Now, if y'all remember this now, this is when Southwest was flying from Dallas to Houston for $13. This is when it all started. I think it had three or four planes, blah, blah, stuff like that, you know. Had them, those Southwest, they didn't call them flight attendants, they called them stewardess and all this kind of stuff. It was a new thing. So I'm sitting there, and this gentleman walked up to me, and at that time they passed you, this is before you had opening seating. You had a seating number. He said, "Excuse me, you're in my seat." So I said, "Oh, excuse me." And so I reached for my boarding pass and I looked and I was in my right seat. I said, "Well, this is seat, I think it was 2B. I said, "This is what's on my boarding pass." He said, "I don't care. That's on mine. Get out my seat." Just like that. Now there's seven people. Oh, seven people said, "Who do you think?" Man, he started getting kind of angry. And I just stood. I said, "You can have this seat. What seat is yours?" He said, "What? Well, they gave me the same pass as you got. I want that's my seat." I said, "You can have it, sir. That's fine with me." And people looked at me like, "Why are you giving him your seat? You don't have to give him to..." Well, I didn't have to. No, that's not the issue. The issue is, blessed are the peacemakers. And he just looked, and one man said, "Do you know that guy's a reverend?" He went, "Oh, I'm sorry." I said, "That's okay, sir. He's just had a bad day." I said, "Somebody's been messing with you about the color of your skin." He said, "Yeah, I'm tired of white people running on me." I said, "I can understand that." He said, "How can you understand that? You white." I said, "How you know that?" I said, "I'm from New Orleans, Louisiana, and raised down the bayous of South Louisiana." He said, "Well, that's true. You never know what's down there." I said, "But sir, you can have this seat." He said, "Oh, Reverend, I apologize. I didn't mean to be..." He said, "I just having a tough day." I said, "It's okay." I said, "Go ahead, take your seat." I said, "I'll take what's over left. Doesn't make a difference to me." Now, that's meekness. Now, I didn't deserve that, but I tell you what, I took it to be a blessing. Finally, he said, "Reverend, if I knew you was a reverend, I wouldn't have done that." I said, "Well, they wouldn't have made no difference. I wasn't a reverend. That's not the issue. The reverend don't mean anything about it." I said, "But I can understand. Sometimes people have bad days." I said, "And today, I guess you've had a tough day." And I said, "I just want to bless you." I said, "Is it all right if I sit next to you?" He said, "If anybody tells you to get out that seat, I'll let them know." So I said, "Okay." And sure enough, once somebody come and they said, "That's my seat. It's the middle seat." I said, "Well, you know that. Would you like to seat by the window?" "Oh, I'd prefer to have the window." I said, "Well, why don't you take that window seat?" So sure enough, they took the window seat and I took that middle seat. You know, the middle seat, you're like this. Did I want to be there? No. Didn't want to be, but that's not the issue. I'm a child of God. And maybe the only Jesus somebody might ever see is the Jesus in me or the Jesus in you. Now that's meekness. And then finally, the last one, temperance. Temperance is a fine thing. The better definition of temperance is self-control. That's what God said. You got to have self-control. It is the last in the list. If you notice that God starts off with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, then he says temperance. Paul listed it as the last one in the list. It is the last in the list. Not because it's the least or the lowest, but because it is the bond of all the rest. Temperance ties it all together. Self-control. Now that's one of the hardest things, because see, if you have self-control, you never walk out of love. You never lose joy. You always have peace. You walk in gentleness, faith, goodness, meekness. And against such there is no law, because now you are controlling instead of being controlled. That's what it means to be temperate. In other words, you're at that point that you can hold anything. You have been tested to the point that, bless God, you know where the breaking point is and you know where it's not. And it holds, and it's the last one on the list. There's a reason for that, ladies and gentlemen. So what God does is call those things to be not as though they were. What God is the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long suffering. Isn't that something? Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. So when you understand that, that's why I stay close to the fruit tree. That's why you see me smiling. That doesn't mean I don't have trouble. That doesn't mean the devil has not fought me. That doesn't mean the people didn't want to hurt me. And I've been sued. I've been shot at. I've had people try to knife me. All kinds of stuff. I'm telling you everything. I had one guy try to electrocute me when I was on a stage. He hot-wired. My microphone knew if I'd grab it, it would wipe me out. But thank God somebody caught him before it happened. And a tent meeting. Remember that, Kathy? It was one of the most amazing. Devil trying to kill me. But you know what? I still kept preaching Jesus. Was you afraid? No. Why should I be afraid? I'm about my Father's business. You see, I've been through that fear part. I love what Brother Colton says. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. Man, I've picked up on that real strong. So I don't allow anything to contaminate what God has given me. So the mark of a Christian is the Holy Spirit and how you live by his power. Now let me say this in close. The mark of a Christian is the Holy Spirit and how you live by his power. Now listen to this. Even though man's inventions and creations are wonderful, everything man makes is dead. You know what I'm saying? Everything man makes is dead. Even though his inventions and his creations are wonderful, but everything he makes is dead. Everything God makes is alive. You see, now, the mark of a Christian is the Holy Spirit and how you live by his power. So I say, Lord, the Holy Spirit, howbeit when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide me today in all truth. So, but anything I do, anything man does, will always be dead. We must overthrow worn out ideas. The fruit tree is the spiritual miracle of opening blind eyes. I get rid of worn out ideas real quick. Why? Because the miracle of the fruit tree is the spiritual miracle of opening blind eyes. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this statement. You can only fly so high on borrowed wings. Now, I'm going to say something you may not like. Some of you have lived off the faith of Kenneth and Gloria and Copeland. It's time for you to get out the nest and fly your wings. It's time for you to do something instead of waiting for them to do something. You see what I'm saying? There are a lot of ministries like that. Well, I am moving to. You see, you can only fly so high on borrowed wings. You see what I'm saying? It's like one man said, I want to get a plane, but how much does gas cost? If you got to worry about the gas, you don't need a plane. Do you understand what I'm saying? Forget a plane if you're worried about the gas. Let me say it again. You can only fly so high on borrowed wings. So the mark of a Christian is the Holy Spirit and how you live by his power. Even though man's inventions and creations are wonderful, everything he makes is dead. So we must overthrow worn out ideas. The fruit tree is the spiritual miracle of open blind eyes. So I decided that I would exercise my wings. So, 1982, in a brand new Dodge cream-colored van that was given to me because it was one of the biggest miracles. Remember that, Lord Jesus, of my life and my ministry. Before that, I had a Toyota with a PV little sound system in the back seat. I mean, and someone bought for me and paid cash for a 1982 Dodge cream-colored van, what I was believing God to, you know, put my equipment in my stuff. And I got that off one of the tapes a brother and sister Copeland that someone had given me. And I thought, well, my God, if God can bless a man from Texas, he can bless a man from Louisiana. So I began to believe that. And boy, it worked. And then the Lord spoke to me going down the road in that van. Now, Jesse, it's time to sprout your wings. Or in other words, it's time for you to create, quote, quote, another van for someone else who may need it. So I began to, you know, step by step, just flowing to where I can start flying. And then I thought, man, I can fly good. But then I ran into crosswinds. Throw me up against the wall. I said, well, how do I handle a crosswind? How do I handle a headwind? How do I handle a tailwind? You see, because see, once you learn to fly, now you got to learn the elements. Because you may have things out there that is called stuff that you can't see. Clear air turbulence, which means surprise, surprise, surprise. You can see a thunderstorm and fly around it. And the other day, ladies and gentlemen, I saw 1,000 miles of tornadoes and storms. I was flying home from Chicago when them tornadoes were hitting Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia. I left Chicago, and I'm telling you, it was one solid wall. Am I correct? It raised right behind that. We were flying. It looked like explosions, lightning going everywhere. It got so high we couldn't fly over it. Our plane only goes to 41,000 feet. It got so low we couldn't get under it. It was a wall that extended past New Orleans out into the Gulf of Mexico. We flew till we started getting low on fuel. So my pilot said, where you want to go? I said, the nearest place. You don't want to say that. Let's just fly without no gas. Yo, mama, you're going to die. That's stupid. So we went west, man, and flew to Lafayette and got us a rum and sat there. Glory to God. It was amazing. We couldn't get around it, couldn't get under it, and couldn't get over it. I mean, explosion for hours, huh? Ray, that thing was just, whoa, just going like that. We prayed because I knew what was something was happening. You couldn't pick your way through it. It was a solid wall. First time I've ever seen a solid wall that long. It was amazing. So we flew into Lafayette, just got us a hotel room. I called Kathy, and I was only 18 minutes away from being home with that jet hours. I called Kathy. She said, don't come. She said, just sleep. She said, this thing's coming over New Orleans right now anyway. And sure enough, man, I got off the phone. Boom, 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 boom. I mean, it was just all across. We had also tornadoes in the New Orleans area, but none of us was touched or harmed or anything of that nature. So I got up the next morning and flew on in. My point is this. I realized I had protection, but if I'd have said, okay, Ray, okay, Dave, let's see how much faith we got. Close our eyes and just fly through there. There would be a memorial service for us. And the Lord said, you know, you shouldn't have come up here this quick. But you did something foolish. His cross has been greater than all others' thrones. Why? Sacrifice is more permanent than tyranny and domination. What I'm saying is, stay close to the fruit tree. Because you see, someone may be hungry and need to eat the fruit that's in your life. And I honestly believe this. The reason why a lot of people are not saved today, because the example of Christianity is a fruitless tree, a tree with no figs. Christianity should be a religion. No hungry sheep should look up and not be fed. There should be something attractive about Christianity. There should be something people say, why you are the way you are? What makes you do what you do? Why do you believe what you believe? How do you get what you get? How do you get your prayers answered? How does that happen to you people? My Lord, we can't only get $5 and yet $5 million may be coming your way. What is it? What is it? It's staying close to the fruit tree. Did you enjoy it tonight? Yeah. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Staying close to that fruit tree. See what I'm saying? So what God does is call those things that be not as though they were, but what God is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And against such, there is no law. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't have a law against me. Why? Because I am what God is. And I flow in those avenues of my life. Even though things may happen bad in life, it doesn't make any difference. God is God and always will be God. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah, Jesus. Every head bowed, please. I know it's a little late. It's about 9:38. But it's never too late. Before we were saved, we were just starting to drink and had to go to work the next day, too. It didn't make no difference. You were sucking down tequila margaritas, taking straight shots. Didn't bother you. Had to work. I came here for one reason, ladies and gentlemen, that you might know who the Lord is. We've already had the moving of the Spirit. That's wonderful. But I'm going to ask you today, were you like me growing up? I knew a lot about God because mama made me go to church, but I did not know God. If God were to walk through the door of our church, I would not have recognized him. I knew about him because, you know, they told us stories about him, but I did not know him. I'd like to introduce you to my friend. I know the Lord. I don't just believe the Lord. You're looking at a man that knows the Lord. Every head bowed, please. Every eye closed. If you don't know Jesus tonight, maybe you know about God, but you don't know God. Would you give me the honor of walking to the throne of God and say, Lord, here's a man, here's a woman. They know about you, but they don't know you, Lord. They've heard things about you, but they've never met you. Lord, I'd like to introduce you to this man. I'd like to introduce you to this woman. And I used to stop there because I was trained so much as a minister to do that until the Lord arrested my mind and said, always take it further, Jesse. Maybe you're in this building today and no, you're not backslidden to hell, but you're not living the way you should live. And you need to come back to God. Some people call it rededicate. I don't call it that at all. I call it selling out. Maybe a preacher hurt you. Maybe a Christian hurt you. Maybe I hurt you. If I did, I apologize. Would you give me the honor of saying, Lord, And I want to use an old Texas statement. Lord, there's some people here had some tough times. But tough times don't last. Tough people do. Would you give me that honor? Because let me tell you something. I don't care how bad you've been. God don't see you as a slave. He'll see you as a son. You'll be like that prodigal. You'll come back and say, oh, I'll just go and, you know, be a slave. And God said, I'll put a ring on your finger. I'll cause a party to take place and we'll have food and refreshment. And I'll put a coat on your back. And I'll tell everybody that which was lost has been found. So with your head bowed, please, and your eyes closed, if you don't know God and you only know about Him, and you'd like to get saved for that first time, or, and be honest with yourself, you're not where you should be with God, and you need to draw closer to Him. You need to come back to Him. Would you lift your hand up? Hold your hand up when I see and acknowledge it. You may put your hand down. Yes, I see your hands. Yes, I see your hands. Could I see others quickly? Yes, I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand here in the front. You may put your hand down. Thank you. I see that hand. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. I see your hand. Yes, I see your hand. By the lifting of a hand, you're saying, I'd like to get saved for the first time. Or you're saying, Brother Jesse, I got to be honest. I'm not where I should be. I've been so far away from the fruit tree. And I need to come back to God. Could I see another hand quickly? Don't miss my Jesus. Thank you. I see your hand. Yes, I do. Thank you. I see those hands. Could I see one more? Don't miss my friend. Oh, let Jesus be the Lord of your life. Thank you, young man. I see it. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I do. Thank you. I want everyone to look at me. I never lie to you people. I had so many people lie to me. I know sometimes my story sounds so way out. I got enough sense to know that. But you haven't lived the life I lived. You don't realize what the Lord saved me from. God had to dig deep to get to me. I was an evil man. Oh, no, Brother Jesse, you do not know. You don't understand. I was an evil man. But when the Lord saved my soul, now all I do is speak well of myself, to myself, because it was Him that did it. Many of you from the back to the front lifted your hand. That took integrity. That wasn't easy. You went, I'm going to ask you to do something harder than this. I'm going to ask every one of you that lifted your hand, because you're a person of integrity, I'm going to ask everyone that lifted your hand to get out of your seat and come stand here in front of everybody. Well, what's wrong with that? Jesus hung on a cross in front of everybody. He's not asking you to do that. He's simply asking you to make a profession of your faith. If you're lifting your hand, get out of your seat right now and come. Give them a hand clap as they come. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah, Lord. Come on, give them a hand clap as they come. Come on. Come on, give them a hand clap. Here they come. Sweetheart, I want all of you that have walked forward to listen to Brother Jesse. We're going to pray a very simple prayer. Let me explain it. It's not a prayer of feeling. It's a prayer of faith. See, I used to think if I didn't feel God, He was mad at me. Or I did something wrong. And I would get frustrated and say, what's the use? I can't live like this. You know, it was tough. And the Lord said, Jesse, you don't pray by feeling. You pray by faith. You know what I said? I've always been honest with God. How could you ever lie to God and get away with it to start with? I said, God, I understand that. But listen, I need to feel. I don't know about you people, but I need a Jesus with skin on Him. I don't need a God over there. I need a God here. I need this Jesus, Jesse. I do. I like that. I have great fellowship with the Lord. I'll say something, you'll be shocked. I very seldom ever ask Him for anything. Very seldom. I would say maybe one or two things and maybe in a year. When I get around God, I forget everything that I need. I just fellowship. I say, listen, thank you. Did I say thank you enough? Did I? He said, yes, you did. I just want to get inside and get outside with God. And I find myself hours later, I thought, what happened? What is going on? He said, you wasn't praying to me, Jesse. You was talking to me. We had fun today. That's a wonderful thing. So I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer. Are you ready? I'm going to ask everybody in this audience to repeat the prayer. You that are watching by television, there will be some information that will come up on the screen. If you write that information, God will bless you. If you need a good church to go to, I don't care, anywhere in the world, I can find one for you. I've been all over the world. You write that address. You pray this prayer with us, because like you, I got saved watching television. And you will come to the knowledge of Jesus just as I did. And faith destroys all distance between God and you. So it's like if you'd be standing right here in the Fort Worth, Texas area. Are you ready to pray? Everybody repeat this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. I confess my sin before you this day. I denounce Satan and all his works. I confess Jesus as the Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me, for bringing me back to where I once was. I believe with my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus rose from the dead. I am saved. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And today is my God day with the Lord Jesus. I pray this prayer to the Father in the name of Jesus. Amen. Stand right there. Give him a hand clap. You made it. That was easy, wasn't it? That wasn't hard, was it? That's pretty simple. Wasn't that easy? Think about that. Wasn't that easy? I wonder why the church world makes it so hard. Well, I've said it thousands of times. I got to say it again. Guess what? Guess what? Y'all going to spend eternity with me. I'm a nice guy. I mean, we're going to heaven together. Isn't that wonderful? Think about that. I mean, just think about it. Who knows? I may live next door to you, young man. Wouldn't that be something? I'd be at your house every day. I stick my head in your window. Hey, I'm going to be a lot taller. I'm going to have brown hair. I want you to know that. That's going to happen.